good morning. Acts chapter 15. If you have your Bible or a pew Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 15. I'll just take a minute to tell a little anecdote. Jim, who opened the meeting this morning, was once a pilot. I guess he's still a pilot, but he doesn't have a plane in his backyard. But anyway, he used to fly a plane from Northern Ontario to Winnipeg, from Swan River to Winnipeg. And I flew on, or I mean, I rode on one of those trips, not what he was piloting, but the young man was piloting. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. As we approached Winnipeg, this was in the evening, it was dark, but there I could see in a very dim distance the lights of Winnipeg. The airport is sort of not central Winnipeg, but away from the center part. And as we came in, we're coming in, I could see the lights, and they were getting brighter all the time. Finally, we saw the lights lighting up the pathway, brilliant, and the plane came in so gently. I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. I think they're getting brighter all the time. Acts chapter 15. Now, it's quite a long chapter, and we'll try and read it all as we go through. Acts chapter 15. As I've been meditating and reading in this chapter for the last number of weeks, knowing that I was going to speak from them, I tried to pick out some of the themes in the chapter. And first of all, I want to pick out the actors in this great drama that's contained within these 41 verses. Who do we find in this chapter? Well, there are certain men, verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, that was a pretty erroneous kind of assumption. And we'll think of that later. Then verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas, now they're sort of central to this chapter and its themes, Paul and Barnabas. And then in verse 13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren. And then verse 14, Simeon, but that's Peter, another name for Peter. Simeon hath declared how God did first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And then verse 18, God is through it all, over it all, known unto God his works from the beginning of the world. And then verse 22, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. Apostles and elders. So here's the list. Certain men, Paul and Barnabas, James, Peter, God, apostles, and elders. And I'm sure that if you read it more carefully than I did, you'd find maybe one or two more. We'll think of them later. Then, the second thing I noticed throughout, the principles under discussion. Now, principles. First, the actors, principles. What were they talking about? Well, Paul and Barnabas had been going through Gentile countries preaching the gospel. Many were saved. You can read about them in previous chapters. Paul and Barnabas. And then, we have the letter that was sent to the Gentiles to disprove that you had to have ceremonies following salvation in order to be saved. That's what they were teaching. You can't be saved, they said, unless you follow the laws of Moses. I don't think that that they're referring to the Ten Commandments, but the ceremonial laws. Circumcision is mentioned, and that was a very, very stringent thing for these people. And then, we have at the end of the chapter, as Jim read to us, love of Barnabas and Paul as well. But so we have law imposed. We have liberty denied. We have letters counteracting. We have love expressed. All start with the letter L. Isn't that nice? Law, liberty, letters, and love. And then, love is expressed through the Apostle Paul as well, and Barnabas. So let's think of the law that was imposed by these people. We'll start from verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem. That expression is used all through the Gospels, up to Jerusalem. It was up on the hill. Jerusalem is built upon, I think, five different mountain peaks. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, caused great joy unto all the brothers. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that how that a good while ago God made the choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to hear there. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." All the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Okay, we'll stop there for the moment then in our reading. These Judaizers, they apparently had professed to believe in Jesus, believe in Christ. They said, "But you've got to add something. You have to add to your faith." And we have certainly that in the world today, in professing Christians. Or did you ever ask somebody, "Are you sure you're going to heaven?" "Oh, yeah." "What are you depending on?" "Oh, I'm depending on my church." Yeah, add that to the faith. Someone else might say, and I've heard it many times, "I'm doing the best I can." If that's your feeling, you mean to say that you've done the best you could all life long, from the cradle to the grave that looms ahead, without one mistake, without one sin? Oh, no. Don't say, "I'm doing the best I can." And someone else might have another answer to that question. "Are you sure you're a Christian?" But these folks, said Paul, verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved as they." And down a little farther, anyway, we just move on. The law by these folks imposed upon the professors of salvation and the apostles said, "No, you don't add to your faith." Now, mind you, they certainly had a life to live by the power of the Holy Spirit after they had been saved. But there's a very important passage in the middle of this, verse 13. "They held their peace. James answered, 'Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name.'" This is the program that the New Testament describes, that God visiting the Gentiles to take out of them the church, the people that believe on his name. And you and I, who believe in Jesus Christ, are part of that church, part of that plan of God. Verse 15, "And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written, 'After this, I will return.'" So after the program underway from the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, right through to the rapture of the church, God is building his church. "But after this, I will return." Jesus is coming again. And that's a theme all of its own, isn't it? But we believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus. What to do? Verse 16, "After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David." I will build again. There's going to be a temple built in the future. Indeed. "After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." God is going to rebuild. Jesus is going to rebuild the nation of Israel. You can turn to Romans chapter 11 if you would, but we haven't time to do that. But in Romans 11, the awesome lights. Now, if you want to turn to it, do so. Chapter 11. Verse 25. I would not, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We're in the times of the Gentiles now, and it's the fullness of the Gentiles when Jesus starts to rebuild them. And then, verse 26, Romans 11, and so all Israel shall be saved. There shall come out of Zion, Jerusalem, the deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are sure and certain. Acts 15, then back. So these people, imposing their law and denying the believers' liberty, oh, you've got to do this just so, be circumcised, and other laws that were imposed upon them. We're told that there are 633 laws that they built up during the years. All right. Verse number 19. And we go now from law, from liberty, to the letter that they composed in unison there in that meeting. Verse 19, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from the Gentiles are turned to God. But we write unto them, notice this, that they abstain from idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. These are things that were just not to be. For Moses, verse 21, hath an old time every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas surnamed Barsabas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. They wrote letters by them after this manner. Now here's the letter. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you do yourself, keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Farewell. When they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the message, the epistle. You know, they didn't have email in those days. Poor people. Or were they blessed? Could be. Anyway, we get sort of strangled ourselves by technology. Anyway, the letter was written and carried by person up to the up to Antioch. Verse 35. And Paul also and Barnabas continued at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Let me look at this. I'll ask you to turn to Galatians, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse number 13. Now this is Galatians. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. So these people were imposing law, but really they were to exercise their love to one another. All right, love expressed is the final portion. Barnabas. You know, Barnabas is a very interesting person, a wonderful person. You first meet him, I think it's in Acts chapter 4, where he, up there in that island of Cyprus, had some land. He sold it, brought the money to the apostles, and laid it there at their feet. He gave what he had out of love. And then you read in chapter 9 that when Paul became a Christian, Barnabas took him under his wing, as it were, and brought him to the Christian gatherings and said, well, they said, oh no, we don't want him. But he said, yes, he's a real believer. And the Christians received him because he was a real believer. And then later on, Barnabas was sent by the church in Jerusalem up to Antioch to work with the new believer assembly there. And the numbers were growing, and he said, I need some help in this pastoral work. Oh, he said, I know. Saul, he will be one that I can call upon, a teacher, a preacher. And so he went, found Paul up at Tarsus, I think it was. Come on, come and help us. Which he did. So they labored together there, and the Christians were called, the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. And then, in a later time, Barnabas helped Paul. Why did he do that? Out of love. So here now, love is expressed. Verse 37, Acts 16. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him, who departed from them from Pamphylia. Now, Mark found the going too tough. John Mark. And so he turned and went back home to Jerusalem. And verse 38, Paul thought not good to take him with them. He departed from them from Pamphylia, went not with them to the work. Now, contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder. Well, they had an argument about it. We don't like to read this, do we? Paul and Barnabas had a falling over this situation, taking Mark with them. The word Barnabas, the name Barnabas, that's not his real name. It's sort of a nickname. Bar is a word for son. son of consolation. And so wherever you find Barnabas, you'll see he's exercising love. He's exercising consolation. He's encouraging. It's easy to discourage others who are doing something for the Lord. But Barnabas, son of consolation, always encouraged. Saul chose, verse 39, the last sentence. And so Barnabas, son of consolation, took Mark and took him to Silas. That's to Cyprus. That's where he had come from. So he went, took him home with him. And that's a nice thing to do. Nice thing for Barnabas to do. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Now, as you read on through Acts, and we will as time goes on, you'll find it was not an easy road that they were on, Paul and Barnabas. But it was through love for those Gentile people that these were willing to suffer for Christ. So we have love indeed through Barnabas. We also find it in Paul and Silas. Later on, they were both in prison, suffered terrible scourging on the backs. They complained about their lot. Oh no, that's the point. They sang praises at midnight, praising God with sore backs, their feet fast in stocks. Now we're told that the stocks were at ankle length. They were up here, and their legs were fastened to the stocks, their shoulders on that cold cement. We were able to, when we visited that area, to see some of these dungeons. And there was one of these dungeons had a spike about that long, way up there. I asked our guide, what's that for? That's where they threw the prisoner. Just threw the prisoner to that big spike. It's not an easy road they followed. You and I may be called upon to walk a difficult road. But we'll be able to sing, all the way my Savior led me. What have I to ask beside? And I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. Let's sing together number 355. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy wave, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Oh,
trust in Jesus for salvation. Your word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We thank thee for the simplicity of salvation. And we pray that each of us in this room will be able to sing this hymn, trust in Jesus. That is all. And we do pray that all of us as Christians, that we'll be bound together in love, striving for the faith of the gospel. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.